All right, let's take our Bibles and let's turn, if you will please, I might get a turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 36. We're going to use the 2 Chronicles account tonight. If you want the parallel passage to our 2 Kings study, it's 2 Kings 24 and verses 17 through 20. But I do want to look at the Chronicles account, and we're going to be over in the book of Jeremiah. If you want to mark Jeremiah chapter number 24, we'll be over there in just a little bit. But tonight we begin to look at the evil reigns of Zedekiah, who was Judah's final king to reign before the last invasion and destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonians. We saw how that previous king was carried away into Babylon, and let's pick up reading here in 2 Chronicles 36. In verse number 11, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck, hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people. And this is a sad phrase here, till there was no remedy. There was no remedy. Nothing but judgment was coming. Zedekiah was the third-born son of good King Josiah. How a good king like Josiah came up with four duds as sons, it's just really a question, isn't it? I mean, I think he just became a father too young of an age. It's what happened. Unfortunately, Zedekiah was just as evil as his brothers. His name given at birth was Mattaniah, but upon his being chosen by Nebuchadnezzar to replace Jehoiakim on the throne, his name was changed by the Babylonian king to Zedekiah. Now, the name Mattaniah means gift of Jehovah. Well, he didn't turn out to be much of a gift. All right. Zedekiah means Jehovah is might, or Jehovah is righteous. Now, as I got to thinking about why was this change made, I think the Lord had it changed. Possibly it's prophetic. Because the Lord's going to show his might and his righteousness in his judgment of Zedekiah and Judah. Just makes sense to me. You know? We're not given any indication why the name was changed there, but I think the Lord kind of had the hand in that to have it turned that way. And so we begin here by reading these verses in 2 Chronicles that summarize Zedekiah's entire life. And I want you to imagine having your entire existence on this earth summed up with the words that we just read. It's pretty sad, isn't it? Not much of a life that he had. That would not be a good thing, as Zedekiah, you know, if he could testify now, he would tell you, yeah, I messed up. Everybody in the end is going to realize that they messed up. You know, that people that mess up and don't repent and get right with the Lord, it's going to be too late one day, just like it was too late for Zedekiah. And Zedekiah got carried away. He wound up dying, as we will see, not tonight. We're going to see on down the road here. We're going to spend a little bit of time. I know I said we weren't going to spend a lot of time in Jeremiah, but with Zedekiah, you just about can't help but spend some time in Jeremiah. We're going to be in two chapters there tonight. But Zedekiah should have never been king. being the third born child. He should really be one of those names in the genealogy of First Chronicles that nobody really knows, as a lot of them, aren't they? It's like, can't say that, and I don't know who that is. But it does matter that they're in there. And I know it's hard to understand why it matters that those genealogies are in there, but they're in there for a purpose. God has them there for a purpose. Zedekiah became king because Nebuchadnezzar needed another puppet king. Jehoiakim was just a puppet king. And when he got pulled from the throne, of course, Jehoiakim was his nephew. He was his brother Jehoiakim's son. When he was pulled off the throne, Nebuchadnezzar carried him and his associates off to Babylon to live out the days of his life. And that's where he would die. He was not coming back. And we're going to see where a false prophet says tonight, "Oh, he's coming back," but he wasn't coming back. And there were a lot of false prophets that rose up during this time, and that makes it difficult for the true prophets, because you know people want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear what thus saith the Lord. And we still have the problem today. People want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear what thus saith the Lord. And so, there was a stark contrast between Zedekiah's life and that of the prophet Jeremiah. Understand that Jeremiah prophesied during the whole evil reign of Zedekiah. In fact, when Zedekiah comes on the scene, Jeremiah has already been prophesying for 30 years. He's got 30 years of prophecy and preaching under his belt, and many of the prophecies have already been fulfilled and others that would be eventually fulfilled. I mean, he was not green behind the ears. Zedekiah was, but Jeremiah knew what he was talking about. Now, to Zedekiah, Jeremiah appeared to be his greatest problem. But Jeremiah was not his greatest problem. Zedekiah's own sin, and certainly his turning a deaf ear to the word of the Lord that we just read there, was his greatest problem, as so often is the case. You know, people want to point fingers of why they have issues in their life, what the problem their problems are, and they don't realize that their problem stares at them in the mirror every morning. They're looking at it, and that's they won't get out of the way and let the Lord do the work in their life. And had he just taken time to listen and heed Jeremiah and the word of the Lord that he spoke to him, things could have been so much different for him and for Judah. You know, the Lord was wanting to do better for them. He really did. And we read that in the prophecies. The Lord was wanting them, but the Lord knew they weren't going to hear. But he longed for them to hear, but they weren't going to hear. Now, in many ways, Zedekiah was the embodiment of all that was wrong in Judah. And the reason why we're going to go to Jeremiah here in a little bit is because we really can't see enough in what the short amount that what we read of what was really going on, what the true character and nature of Zedekiah was, why the Lord was so upset with Judah and with Zedekiah. His character validated the Lord's decision to destroy Jerusalem and to punish Judah by having them carried into captivity. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter number 24. And what we want to focus on tonight, this is the main focus as we get into the conclusion. We'll take a look at another chapter tonight. But our main message tonight in this first part of the evil reign of Zedekiah, which I don't know how long it's going to take to get through this, because I haven't done the whole, y'all realize I do these Bible studies as I teach them. I didn't even have this one ready for last Wednesday night. It was like, you know, I was so sick, I didn't have it to get it done, so. But we're back tonight, and we're on it tonight. And as much as I would like to be able to just breeze right through Zedekiah and be done with him and let's move on. We're not going to do the scripture justice if we do that. And so, first thing we see here is Jeremiah's first vision of the reign of Zedekiah. And we call it the parable of the figs. And Jeremiah 24 is where this is at. Let's read the first three verses first. It says, Jeremiah 24 and verse number 1, "The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, remember Jeconiah and I can't remember the name now. I get bad sometimes. Jehoiakim. Jeconiah and Jehoiakim are the same, one and the same. Different names for the same person. But he carried, this vision came after he was carried away into Babylon. It says there, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem and had brought them to Babylon. Now, that's what we saw in our last study. We saw them being carried away, the besiegement of Jerusalem. They finally just walked out of the city, gave themselves up to the forces of Babylon, and they were carried away into Babylon, into captivity. Now notice here, verse number 2. One basket had very good figs. We've got two baskets here. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe. Now, I'm going to pause right there. From what I understand, those were considered a delicacy. And those were the ones that people would give as their first fruits offering unto the Lord. And that's the picture of what we have here. And the other basket, he says here, had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, "What seest thou, Jeremiah?" And I said, "Figs. The good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten. They are so evil." Now, shortly after Zedekiah became king, Jeremiah was given this vision from the Lord God, in which Jeremiah saw these two starkly different baskets of figs that were set before the temple of the Lord. It's as if these were presented as an offering before the presence of the Lord Himself, being at the temple. Okay, baskets of figs used to be offered as first fruits in the temple. Now, one of these baskets is described as being that of very good figs, and the other basket was that of very naughty. We don't think of figs as being naughty, but it just means they were really bad. Really, really bad. And this prophecy was designed to encourage the despairing exiles in Babylon while at the same time reproving the people who were still in Judah. And we're going to see this in a minute. Those who remained in Judah prided themselves as being superior to those who had been carried away into Babylon. But they were superior. They had been blessed with the Lord to be allowed to remain in the land. Did they appreciate that? No, they did not. They abused the forbearance of God. God allowed them a space of grace as they remained there, and they did not honor the Lord with their lives. Now, let's take a look at the good figs. Verse number 5. Verse 4 and 5. So, verse 4 says again, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place." Notice that. The Lord says, "I've sent them out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans," and get this, "for their own good. For I will set mine eyes upon them again," "I will set my eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up." And And so we see here, look at verse 7, it says, "And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." So the good figs represented those of Judah who had already been carried away into Babylonian captivity at this juncture. That means all the way up through Jehoiakim. Okay? Those that have been carried away up to this point, the Lord, here's, look at what the Lord had to say about them. The Lord said He would acknowledge them there in verse 5. That word acknowledge means recognize or regard with favor. The Lord was going to show them favor. And as you look at the time that they spent in the 70-year captivity, the Lord was favorable to them. Okay? Verse number 5 also says, the Lord said He sent them out of Judah. The Lord said He sent them out of Judah into captivity in Babylon for their own good. This reminds me of Romans 8:28 in the New Testament. When the Lord said, He will work things together for our good. That say everything's going to be good, but He's going to work it to our good. And He was going to work this to those captives' good. Their removal to Babylon, listen, it saved them from the calamities which was about to befall the rest of the nation. Zedekiah got as evil as he got, and those that were left in the land did not take heed to the Lord. It was not going to be a pretty sight. And we'll see that in just a minute. It also led many of them to repentance in Babylon as they were carried away into captivity. The Lord would kind of get your attention with that, don't you think?
Yeah.
You would hope. They were carried away into captivity and someone decided, hey, we just need to get back to the Lord.
Right.
Especially if they took time to listen to Prophet Jeremiah that we're going to see that him talk to them here in a little bit. It led many of them to repentance in Babylon, and so God bettered their condition. And though they remained in captivity for the 70 years appointed by God, that wasn't going to change. God had appointed 70 years of captivity. He said, just know that it's going to be 70 years. Don't fight against it. It's going to be 70 years. Think of some of the people that are involved in this. Daniel. Did Daniel have a good life in Babylon? He did, didn't he? Daniel was one of the remnant. Daniel loved the Lord. Daniel did what the prophet Jeremiah told him to do. Things went well. Daniel, three Hebrew children, as well as Ezekiel, were among the captives. Now the Lord said that He would also set His eyes upon them for good, there in verse number 6. He would bring them again to this land, speaking about Judah. He would build them and not pull them down, and that He would plant them and not pluck them up. Now, in Jeremiah 12:15, it says this, "And it shall come to pass that after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land." And the Lord was going to do that. So the prophecies of restoration and salvation from Jeremiah are directed at that first group of exiles that went to Babylon, and indicating the Lord's displeasure with those who remained in Judah. Especially the leaders that were in Judah. And that takes us to the bad figs. And that's who He's talking about here in verses 8 through 10. Look at verse 8. "And as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely this, thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt, curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers." Not a good day to be a bad fig. The bad figs represented Zedekiah, his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remained in the land, and those that had escaped down to, they thought they escaped down to Egypt to get out of the way of the Babylonian king. That wasn't going to continue. They were still going to be judged by the Lord. People who remained in Judah were likely rejected because they did not repent after seeing the fate of the first group of exiles. Now, when you saw everybody else being carried away into captivity, you would think, we just need to get right with God, right? That's not what happened. Not what happened at all. It was like, they got carried away into captivity. We got by. But they didn't get by. Because of that failure to repent, their fate stood in stark contrast to those who had already been carried away into captivity in Babylon at this point. The Lord said that He would deliver them to be removed from Judah for their hurt. And the Lord pronounced upon them reproach, taunting, and a curse wherever they happened to be carried away. It didn't matter. You be carried away into Babylon? Well, you should have went with the first group. Yeah. Unlucky you, you got left behind. It's not about luck. It's about the attitude that they had. Also specifically mentioned there, are the sword, the famine, and pestilence upon all them until they were all totally consumed off the land of Judah. I mean, the sword is talking about war, famine, starvation, pestilence, disease. Yeah. So, what a contrast. Much rather be a good fig, right?
Yeah.
Bad day to be a bad fig. And it seems likely that around the same time, Jeremiah sent a letter to the captives in Babylon telling them, settle in for a long captivity. Look at Jeremiah 29. I understand as you go through the book of Jeremiah, things are not sequential as they were written. I mean, you would think that these things are in sequential order. A lot of times they're not. But Jeremiah 29 is speaking of that first group of captives, the group of captives up to the time of Jeconiah or Jehoiakim, whatever you want to call his name. And we see that. Look at let's read this. And we're just going to read part of it, but the important part of it. Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 1. "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon." And he gives us the time frame here. "After that Jeconiah the king and the queen and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem." That's after our last Bible study that we had. Okay, the time frame, this was sent after that time frame. And then I'm not going to read all those names in verse 3, but he just tells who he sent it by the hand of. And basically it was one of Zedekiah's servants that he sent to Babylon, to King Nebuchadnezzar. Him being a puppet king, he had to keep in contact with Nebuchadnezzar, and one of the guys that went there basically carried this letter to those captives. Verse 4, "Thus saith the Lord," here's the content of the message, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon." Do you get that? Whom I have caused to be carried away. He says here, "Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. In other words, if you're in Babylon, is there going to be war in Babylon? You're going to be in war. You need to pray for the peace of the city. So, you know, if the city's got peace, you've got peace. Verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye have ye caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. And by the way, we're not going to read, but you can turn back to chapter 28 and you'll see one of those false prophets. A guy by the name of Hananiah. things are fixing to turn around. Everybody's going to be coming back from Babylon. You know, even Jeconiah or Jehoiakim is going to be coming back. And all that we carried away, they're just all going to be coming back and we're going to have a grand old time. Liar. In fact, he wound up dying there. Look at verse 10 now, Jeremiah 29 and 10. Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your hearts. Remember, this is the area of scripture that Daniel keyed into whenever he wrote chapter number 9, Daniel chapter number 9, when he had the revival prayer. You know, he was like, hey, the Lord's going to return us to the land in 70 years. We've been here 70 years. It's about to take place. We need to get right with God. We need to be praying for this to take place. Look at verse 14. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So, there we have it. It seems likely that around this same time that Jeremiah wrote Jeremiah 24, that he wrote 29, telling these captives to just settle in for a long captivity. Build your houses, plant your gardens, have your families, pray for peace. He warned them not to listen to the false prophets who were saying that captivity would be over because they were wrong. It was going to be 70 years. And guess how many years it was? 70 years. 70 years. And so we'll continue to take a look next time. That's all the time we have for tonight. We'll continue to take a look at some more of Zedekiah and what transpired here with the last king of Judah. Prior to going totally into captivity. All right, let's pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs tonight, and then we'll be dismissed with this prayer.